This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with David Allen. How are you, David?
Hi, Chris. I'm good, thank you. It's early morning and the coffee's starting to cut in, so might get some sense out of me.
We're in Auckland at Wine Searcher HQ.
Here in New Lynn, yes, beautiful New Lynn on a really dreadfully dreadfully grey day.
I'm sorry about that,
Chris. It's been so lovely the last couple of days.
It's going to be hot. I've seen the forecast, 25 degrees.
Okay.
Wine Searcher, you're saying, has been around for about 20 years.
Yes, we're celebrating 20th anniversary this year.
So, yeah, so one of the first online tools, really, for wine people.
Yeah, a bit of a sort of an internet dinosaur, really, aren't we? It's, I think we've sort of moved on from being iconoclastic to being sort of a bit of a part of the furniture almost for the wine trade these days.
Well, for some people, the number of punters, just normal wine drinkers I talk to have never heard of it, is amazing. So do you want to just tell us what Wine Searcher is in your own words, just so that people know what we're talking about here?
Okay, I mean, my own words, I think it was Jancis Robinson described us as the Google for wine, so we'll use that as a starting point. I mean, we are a search engine for wine. We have a database here with over 10 million offers on. About 500,000 of those are matched wines, so you can come to us either via our app or through the website, wine-searcher.com. Where you can look for a wine and we'll show you where it's listed. You can narrow that to your own geographical area or you can see the whole world if you want. We'll give you other information about it, sort of pricing, obviously the prime thing, but, also we'll give information about sort of wine scores, critics notes, how it compares to the market pricing. There's an awful lot of information on there. We'll give food recommendations. We'll tell you about the producer. There are a myriad of links you can follow through the site if you're getting really excited.
Yeah. It's quite I've used the tool now for probably at least 15 years. I don't know when I stumbled upon it, but I found it really, really useful. And I think there's a couple of use cases for me anyway. One of them is just to track down wines, because that's quite handy.
Yeah.
And also the other one is price comparison. It's always quite interesting to see how wine prices in, say, New Zealand versus England versus America.
Seeing differing prices between countries. I mean, we take out taxes.
You don't take out, like in the UK?
We give an average price that's ex-tax.
VAT, but not duty, though.
Ex-sales tax, sorry. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So there's all that information there. And then we've also, I should mention, we've got an encyclopedia and a news service. So we're publishing daily news stories. The encyclopedia will tell you about all the regions and the grape varieties from those wines we have on there. So that's all linked to the database. So if you start from a particular wine, you should be able to find out something about the producer, the grape variety, the region it's from. We're trying to be the fount of as much knowledge as possible. I wouldn't claim all knowledge. That would be a rather overreaching claim. But
I often get people going to me going, oh, I had this wine in New Zealand or Australia or France or whatever, and I can't seem to find it in the UK, and I just sort of go, Wine Searcher. Just go find it in Wine Searcher, because if it's in the UK, there's a fairly good chance it's going to be on the site.
And yes, I mean, our market coverage differs. I mean, our prime markets for usage are actually the States is our biggest usage, then probably the UK. We've growing usage throughout Europe. We have done some translational bits of the app. So there's a certain amount in Portuguese, in Spanish, in Italian, in German. So we're trying to make ourselves accessible to as many people as possible. We've just launched a WeChat. We're publishing 4 stories a month in Chinese, mm-hmm. that we translate from our story base from English. So yes, we're trying to reach as many people as possible. I mean, you know, we get about 1.3 million searches a year from China. We've seen increasing interest from India, which has been quite interesting. Some of that seems to have stemmed from the Australian cricket tour there.
Okay, so you're getting a lot of searches for Aussie wines.
Well, no, actually, what was coming up in the searches that we really didn't understand was Castlemaine Bitter was being searched for, and because they're the sponsors, and people were typing Forex into to Google to find out about it, and we were the place they found for that. Because, of course, actually advertising alcohol in India online is illegal.
Oh, okay.
So there are ways around it, like sponsorship, and that's caused a sizable jump, noticeable jump in our usership from India.
Obviously, you're not a charity, and businesses need to make a bit of cash. How do you make money?
Through several means. I mean, primarily, we have it's about 800 merchants worldwide who pay to be sponsors. So we charge them on the number of click-throughs, referrals that they get from us a year, based on the previous year's usage. And then they're preferentially displayed. So if you are using the free version of the site, you will see their wines shown, and you'll get a note at the bottom saying there are other matches. And if you want to pay to be a pro user, which is our other main stream of income, you can sign up. The price varies from country to country, but it's never more than $100. So the pricing's become more complicated because we're having to charge GST or VAT in markets now. We've breached the threshold where you have to do that.
Yeah.
They're catching up with the digital world with regulation, unfortunately. So that's been quite a complex thing to organise. But it's a price that we hope that if you're a regular wine buyer and buying cases of wine, it should pay for itself very quickly in terms of the better pricing you can get through using the site.
Yeah. So let me just say, so if I'm a just Joe Blogs, I don't have an account with you guys. I type into Wine Searcher for some wines. I'll see a list of wines for the wine that I'm looking for, but it may not be the full list. It's just the people who've paid a premium.
Unless, of course, we don't have a merchant who lists that wine, in which case, you know, we want you to get a good usage experience, so we will show you a limited number of those wines. So you should always be able to find a wine through us.
Okay.
There's always the potential that somebody else might be listing it cheaper and we might have that on the pro site. So.
Yeah, so that's the issue. So if I pay a pro, I see all the wines.
Yeah.
But if I'm free, I get to see all the merchants who have paid you some money and maybe some more if it's required to give you a decent experience.
Indeed.
Okay, no, that's quite cool. When I used it, I've been a pro sometimes, and I'm not a pro at the moment, but, you know, depending on what I need at the time, I sometimes subscribe and sometimes I don't, and you do get a deeper list, but you don't necessarily always get better prices or better examples of prices.
I mean, certainly when I was working in the UK trade, I used to work for Covent, and as I was the fine wine manager there, it was essential to, when I was buying and selling, to see everybody's price, so
yep,
that you knew where you were in the spread. And there are some people who have decent prices and keep off Wine Searcher. For some people, it's a deliberate thing. But I mean, I always felt it was essential to see the whole thing in that situation. But I was buying and selling a lot of wine. I've heard of private individuals who, when they're in a flush phase of life and they're buying to fill their cellars, they love being pro members. Later on, their function of using Wine Searcher is probably more to track the pricing of the wines they've already bought, and it's not as essential to be a pro member. But
I suppose if you're not a member of Wine Searcher and you're just looking for some random bottle you had on holiday that you quite liked, if it's on the database, you will give them an answer to that wine in their country if it's in there.
If it's available in the market. I mean, obviously they aren't always available in the market. And the other thing I should mention with this opportunity is you don't even have to sort of type a name into the database. If you're overseas and you've got a wine in front of you, you can use the label matching software. You can scan that and do a search that way. So you,
that's on the app.
Take a picture on the app, and that will show you what it thinks the match is, and you've got an opportunity to say whether you think that's right or not, whether you want to search further. So, you know, trying to improve usability for somebody who's sitting in a restaurant or in a wine shop and wants to know more about the wine they're looking at.
Cool. You said the main user base is America. I've been looking around your office, looking at all your graphs and trying to have a look around. I've been a bit sifty and had a bit of a look. And It seemed to be mainly the east coast of America, a little bit on the west coast, and UK seemed to have big round circles there and around that as well. So what's going on there? Is it really the east coast, or is it just time of day?
It'll be time of day, yeah. Don, who is our news editor, comes in about 7 o'clock in the morning, and he tells you the picture is completely different at that stage, and the Americans sort of... shift into reading later in our day here in New Zealand. So to any phase, there's always traffic coming from a lot of these places, but it you know, shifts around obviously with the day, or from Hong Kong, where they tend to work round the clock, can be pretty consistent. But
What sort of spreads do you get on pricing? Because I've seen wines, and there are spreads in pricing. There's definitely some retailers are definitely cheaper than others. I presume you don't know the UK market well enough to sell it. Give us a recommendation on who's good value, do you?
Gosh, it's a few years since I was doing that. It's about 4 or 5 years now before I'd have been in a position to give you an up-to-date recommendation on that.
But you must have an idea about the spreads in terms of, you know, if you go to the wrong retailer, you're going to be paying 20% more or 30% more.
In honesty, I've not done that analysis, so I'd be misleading you if I said I had. I mean, it's certainly analysis we've done in the past indicates that we like to think it's down to Wine Searcher. The spread of pricing has reduced significantly because of the exposure that Wine Searcher gives to pricing, but I don't have those figures with
me. Yeah, that's market information, isn't it? The economists love that sort of thing, as market information becomes perfect.
And I mean, also you can talk about spreads, but are you talking about within a particular country or within a region or within, you know, the entire, you know, worldwide? I did a bit of looking at some pricing for New Zealand wine growers. We did some reports. We just had the Sauvignon Blanc conference. Did you?
No, I didn't attend that. I should have, but I didn't.
You missed out on a good conference there. Yeah. Some of the speakers were great. But I was presenting some information there about New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc and building on some stuff I've done in the past. And that was interesting to see, how Sauvignon in the US, New Zealand Sauvignons, as imported wines, they really dominate in the most searched for category of wines. They're sort of $10, $15 for Sauvignon Blanc. Mm-hmm. But then as you go up the price scale, throughout, this is across the whole of the US, the imported wines flip, and all of a sudden French wines, once you're over $25, $30, are dominant in the export market there. And so I'd looked at that sort of thing, and that was for the Brigato conference 2 years ago. And then we looked at pricing again, because I was suggesting that actually there's an opportunity here. There is this higher end of the market that they're not really exploiting.
Yeah.
It was a little disappointing. I looked at average prices this year for Sauvignon, and actually New Zealand Sauvignons in the US are down a couple of percent, whereas the rest of Sauvignon is holding steady. So they clearly didn't pick up on the message I was trying to give, or market forces have pushed them elsewhere. And so
can users get access to that data? I suppose they can, but it's
some of it's on the website. I mean, we have a limited amount of I say limited, actually there's a massive amount of market data on the website. So if you look up a particular wine, you'll see there are three tabs on the search results. So one is the pricing and the location, and that's where most people will look. But then there are tasting notes, which will take you through to the critic scores, etc. And the third tab is market data, and you'll see there a graph of the wine's pricing, and that compares it to, if we have enough information, it'll compare it to a benchmark for that region. So for something like Marlborough Sauvignon Blanc, for instance, we'll have a benchmark price, and then you can see where you sit with regard to that. And you'll also have the ability to compare current average prices for different vintages as well. So you can, so that's actually quite a lot of accessible data.
Yeah, no, that's quite good. So we had a look around your office when I first arrived, and you've got different teams doing different roles. You've got a spider team, and it's not Spider-Man, is it?
No, it's run by Jian, who has actually been with the company for a long time. He's a very experienced member of staff. But I should sort of pop the make a pop for the level of knowledge we have there. That Jian has been with us for. He's just finished his diploma, his WSET diploma. So there's a quite a high level of wine knowledge throughout the company.
Yeah, and you're an MW as well.
Yeah,
I didn't mention that, David Allen, MW.
And then so they write the programs that go out to the Java programs that go out and pick up people's websites, and you know we try and refresh those daily. Mm-hmm. So, well, I say we try and collect them daily. It'll often be just over 24 hours before the it updates on the website. So we are always slightly behind on things. So that's an area we're looking to slowly improve, because obviously site speed, usage, and being up to date is absolutely key to this being an effective tool. So that's a team of 8 of them at the moment, I think. So they pick up the lists, and then moving around the office, we've got a team of wine specialists who will match those wines into their appropriate, sort of almost sorting them into their appropriate bags. So that
because each merchant will have their own unique way of describing our wine. Yeah.
And because we collect from 114 countries, merchants in 114 countries, we're collecting in different languages as well. You know, even just a wine described as being from New Zealand, the words for New Zealand will obviously vary from country to country.
Same wine, but just different words to use to describe the same thing.
And then there are so many anomalies within descriptions as well. I mean, for instance, we don't collect a lot of terms. I mean, terms like chateau, for instance, doesn't add a lot to us trying to work out what a wine name is. So we run a standardization that just takes that out. And then sometimes that can be quite difficult. Red, for instance, we don't collect red or white. Red Rock Winery in Red Rock, Arkansas, that made Red Rock Red. So that doesn't actually, other than the word rock.
Rock.
That didn't give the computer much to go on in terms of matching it. And there are other things like a really nice Pomerol property, Chateau Le Point. Their first wine is Chateau Le Point. And their second, which is a Pomerol, of course, and their second wine is Le Point Pomerol. Again, the computer has real difficulty knowing where it can differentiate between them.
But that's why you have a team doing that.
Indeed. And that's one we've still got to work out exactly how we do. But increasingly you find the exceptions and you write in means of getting around those. There are all sorts of difficulties like numbers in a wine's title. Is that the vintage or is that the part of the, I think we used to, when I was in Oddbins, we used to sell 1725 white and red from Barton and Gustier, and it's like, well, how does the machine know that's not the vintage? So there's all sorts of things to do. The matching team, obviously we've got a very experienced bunch there. We have a couple of trained winemakers. One of my guys used to make Prosecco at Car del Bosco, so a really decent winemaker there. We have former sommeliers, we have people who've been in the retail trade. So from all aspects and from right around the world, we've Chileans, Argentinians, Germans, Italians, Spanish. I think we've even got a New Zealander somewhere in there. New Zealander with French heritage. They're an important asset for the company. So that's about 15 in the whole team there. Then we have the content writers. So there's Don, our editor, and Nat, who manage the news content.
That's a feeling, well, not fairly new, but it came up, about 5 years ago you started editing?
I think it's about 5 years ago, yeah. We publish a... we've scaled it back initially, and originally it was a huge team, and we were publishing rolling news. Currently, we're publishing a news story a day. One or two people might have seen us breaking the sommelier story fairly recently, the scandal with the master sommeliers. Did you?
Which one was that?
Cheating scandal in the quarter master sommeliers?
In America?
Yeah,
I saw that. That was about 6 months, a year ago, though, wasn't it?
No, that was about 3 months ago. It was just 4 months.
Yeah, okay.
October, so 4 months.
Yeah.
Um, So there's that sort of thing. And then with the encyclopedia, as I mentioned, we have regions, grape varieties and producers all written up there. Mm. And so I have Tom working there to maintain that, because, you know, we try and make sure that nothing's more than 5 years out of date, or hasn't been reviewed in 5 years. It doesn't necessarily go out of date, obviously, no. But so trying to keep that up. Other than that, we have a customer service team. So obviously we get plenty of queries coming in. We have plenty of correspondence from users who invariably will tell us when we've got something wrong or the wrong prices.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
And also following up issues that they've had with merchants, because it's important for us to make sure that we're not listing people who are ripping people off.
Do you do merchant reviews at all, or
we have a star rating for merchants, so we monitor feedback we get from users, and if we have complaints come in, we will amend the star rating to reflect that. I mean, you know, obviously there were always difficulties in a wine transaction, but you know, we hope that we'll
shipping, because you're shipping a big heavy product.
Yeah, but then I mean, I'm afraid it's one of the problems of the wine trade that people have used the fact that shipping is complex to get around the fact that maybe they didn't have the wine when it was ordered, and that's the thing. And we go to some lengths to try and make sure that's not the case. I mean, we do quite a few. We have some mystery shopping procedures just to make sure that we're not promoting people who can't supply wines to people, because that's a bad user experience for us,
yeah.
Even though actually it's nothing to do directly with us. We want to make sure that we're trying to make it a safer experience for the customer. It's difficult for us to be the police for the whole wine trade at the same time.
Yeah. Excellent. All right then, David. I think we're going to wrap it up there. So what's the link again if you want to search for wines?
Oh, sorry. Yes, www.winesearcher.com.
Not
wine-searcher. Sorry. I think you get through with either of them. But to be honest, most people these days aren't that sort of old-fashioned. They just type the wine they're looking for into Google and
you guys tend
find
to
us that way.
Yeah.
Well, we work pretty hard to make sure we do, yeah. As high up as we can. So
perfect. All right, then. Cheers very much.
Well, thank you very much. It's been interesting talking to you.